ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Welcome to everyone who joined us on the internet from various places around the world. We're taking part in the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's very fortunate to have the direction of the acharyas who give very specific direction how to live one's life, because the human life is so vital. In fact, the shastras, the scriptures, say over and over again that every moment that we have in this life is precious. And the human life is compared to a boat. In fact, the body itself is called a boat. Nrideha madhyam sulabham sudulabham plavam sukalpam gurukarnadaram. And it's very rare to get it. So when one has it, the Shastra says, although it's temporary, you can do so much with it. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers have clarified exactly what to do to get the most out of this opportunity that we've been given in this short human life, which is so valuable. And repeatedly they say, hearing about Krishna, his instructions, his activities, his devotees, is the primary activity that will elevate us to Krishna consciousness, which is our original consciousness, the original state of the living entity is a devotee. So when we come to Krishna consciousness and we feel, I want to be a devotee, this is natural, normal consciousness, and this is happy consciousness. And that's the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement, as the name indicates. And the way to do that primarily is by hearing. Hearing means learning. And there's a special quality to hearing about Krishna, which the Shastra says is like during the autumn season when the rains come and the muddy waters turn clear because so much water is coming. It clarifies everything from above. So similarly, the hearing process means that Krishna actually enters the heart and he assists us in clearing away any of the impediments which come in the form of anarthas, are unwanted desires, which are based on a misconception of who we actually are. But if I decide I'm actually a servant of Krishna, and we have even the slightest intention in our heart that I would like to surrender to Krishna, even if I can't fully do it right now, then Krishna will practically drag us to the destination because he recognizes the sincerity that we have within our hearts. He can see it from billions of miles away. Although he's actually very close to us, he's within our hearts. And he's always attentive. He notices the sincerity. So that was my preamble to thank you for being here tonight out of a feeling of sincerity, because you're simply sitting here listening, hopefully, to Krishna Katha. If I can continue and say something about Krishna. You need to tune this, and we'll sing later. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So this prayer says that I was born in the darkest of ignorance. It means I didn't know anything. And I didn't know where I was going, where I came from, or what the goal of life was. But I got light, I got direction. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So this is the prerequisite for moving forward in spiritual life, is to acknowledge the help one is being given from Krishna and from one's spiritual master. So we say, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah, I offer my obeisances to my guru. Then, Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Then we offer obeisances unto Rupa Goswami, because we are following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. It's nice to have very specific footsteps to follow in the footsteps of. And Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam, he has come specifically to establish, to fulfill the desire of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami. And we're asking, when can I get shelter at his lotus feet? Next. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam Paritana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha. Acknowledging all of the great Vaishnavas in disciplic succession. Next. He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. Offering our obeisances to Lord Sri Krishna, who is the ocean of mercy and lover of Radharani. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Our obeisances unto the golden complexion Srimati Radharani, who is the queen of Vrindavan and the daughter of Vrishabhanu. Vancha kalpaturubhascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Offering our respects to all the Vaishnavas who are like desire trees. It means they can fulfill the desires of everyone, and they're full of compassion, which is a rare quality in this world. So if you find someone that not only has compassion, but also the capability of fulfilling all your desires, be there and offer your obeisances. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. And we offer obeisances to the Panchatattva, who together are the absolute truth. Krishna manifests himself in various forms in order to taste the sweetness of relationship. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And this is the Maha Mantra, 16 words, 32 syllables, prescribed mantra coming from the Vedas, and it's very specifically given to us, wrapped in a wreath of prema from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's everything that we need, everything that we want, everything that is knowable is there within this mantra. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Nambina Kichu Nahiko Aro Choda Bhuvana Mahaje. There's nothing else to be had in the 14 worlds except the holy name of the Lord. And this very specific mantra has been passed down to us. It really does give one focus, doesn't it? To have clear direction from the acharyas and then have one mantra to think about. Because there's too many options these days, I think. If you go in to buy any, I don't go in anywhere practically nowadays unless it's an absolute emergency, because if you look at any shelf anywhere to buy something, so many choices to make, so many varieties. Previously you could maybe choose different kinds of tomatoes off a vine, but now you have to look at so many things. So this is one thing that all the acharyas are very clear about. This one thing, out of even all the processes of devotional service, they name 64 different items, different practices of devotional service. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu narrowed it down to 5, and then he narrowed it down to 1. Said, if you just do this one thing, then you'll complete everything else, and you'll attain all perfection in life. And that is, repeat these, the names of God, specifically in the form of this mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We can make a prayer to our minds, please, just for a while, every day, give up all other pursuits, give up all other objects of desire, and simply focus on this one mantra. Take it from the acharyas, that they know what they're talking about better than my mind, better than what I think is good for me. Aimukta kaleru pasyamanam means all the great liberated souls are doing this one thing, they're chanting this mantra. And they all recommend it more than anything else. So why not give myself at least a reprieve from the hurricane of the mind every day, at least for some time, whether it's 5 minutes, whether it's an hour or 2 hours, just simply chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and don't worry about getting anything else done, because I can't do anything anyway. It always turns out the opposite of what I intended anyway, doesn't it? Or is it just me? So why not take shelter of the holy name and simply chant Hare Krishna? So these are invocations. We start in any practice of devotional service by reorienting ourselves to the goal and to our position as servants of the Lord and servants of the servants of the Lord's devotees. Hare Krishna. If we have at least 3 certified Kartalas, I would appreciate it. There's one in the front row. There's 2 more certified Kartalas in the house. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janda Ballabha Kirivada Dhari. Gopi Jana Balaba Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nanana Vraja Jana Ranjana. 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 Jamuna Chiravanachari. Jamuna Chiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Bihari. Janna Ballabha Girivada Dhari. Gopi Janna Ballabha Girivada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Chiravanachari. Jamuna Chiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. So we are offering our obeisances unto Srila Vyasadeva, unto Narnarayan Rishi, unto Goddess Saraswati. Srila Vyasadeva very kindly. Srila Veda Vyas, Dvaipayana Vyas, edited the Vedas specifically so that we could understand them, because they're not understandable to anyone in this age in their original form. Therefore, he brought out the Itihasas, the Puranas, which are not only the same as the Vedas, but they're better, because they explain the Vedas in a way that one can take advantage of them. And of all the Puranas, there are 18, the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavat Purana, it was originally called the Bhagavat Purana, we call Srimad Bhagavatam. Even that was edited by Srila Vyasadeva, because in the original form of the Bhagavat Purana, he was still not satisfied, he was morose, even though he had done so much work, his spiritual master Narada Muni told him that you haven't given people what they really need, which is Krishna's pastimes with his intimate associates in Vrindavan. Go back and meditate on this, which he did. He went into deep meditation. What came back out was called the Samadhi Bhashya, the result of his seeing for himself Krishna, the illusory energy, the position of the living entity covered by the material nature. And when he saw Krishna, he also saw all of Krishna's energies, just as when one sees the moon, one sees the moon shine as well, and the effects that it has everywhere. So with complete realization, and he lived in a very low-tech environment. Nowadays you can't get away from LED lights, can you? They're everywhere. They haunt us. We don't even know how much they haunt us, but they do. It's a life of distraction. But he lived in a cottage surrounded by berry trees, and there was no telephone. But he was completely tuned in. This is something that is very important for us to do, to go within or go without. That means if you don't go within, you get left behind. You have to miss what's actually going on. And so he gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, and therefore we offer obeisances to him, to Narayana Rishi, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Bhartarik Ashram, who's there specifically out of compassion for all living entities to be present on this planet, to show by example that human life is meant for yajna, tapasya. And of course, Goddess Saraswati, we beg for her assistance in going on speaking about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Uttama Shloka. He's glorified with the most precise and subtle, beautiful prayers that one could find anywhere in the world. So the Ramayana reading is going on here at ISV because with all whatever other deficiencies we have, we take shelter in the mantra, keep the vibration going. One way or the other, keep the vibration going. These kinds of principles are very important, especially to all of us who are working in the world and find that we're being pulled along by various social obligations, obligations to work, obligations to maintain the body and so forth. They come one after another as waves. How to disentangle oneself from this? Keep the vibration going. Stane stita shutigatam tanuvan manobir. The advice that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked particularly, it was given by Lord Brahma when he was praying to Krishna after his revelation about how Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This comes in the 14th chapter, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, give up trying to understand Krishna with your intelligence. Just serve. And one of the ways to serve, stane stita shuti gatam tanuvan manobir, to hear, just constantly hear about Krishna. And serve. Serve means you've heard. First you hear, then you serve. As if you hear and then you don't do. If you ask somebody, please, would you bring me the apple? And they say, yeah, I heard you. But unless they actually bring it, then where is the carry through? So in a similar way, our hearing means understanding. Our understanding means serving. There's something to be done. And the very basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness is that we're all servants, and we can take shelter in this and remember that. There's a way in which we are all naturally servants. And Prabhupada brings this out in his introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, where he talks about how everyone's a servant. And Bob Dylan sang about it way back in the 1980s, was it? I don't know when. He wrote a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." He said, "You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Might have money and drugs at your commands, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." He goes on from there and names practically every category of personality in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance there could possibly be, and ends with the refrain that you're going to have to serve somebody. King Muchukunda said a similar thing when he met Krishna in the cave after Kaliyavana had awoken Muchukunda, who had a very interesting benediction that was that whoever wakes me up, I get to burn him to ashes with my eyes. You can try this at home. And after he burned Kaliyavana to ashes, which is the Lord's arrangement, because Krishna didn't want to touch him, and he needed to be rubbed out. So he offered prayers, and he said, I'm an emperor, but still I'm a servant. I come home, and there I'm subservient to my wives. I'm a big man everywhere in the world, but I come home, and I have to, you know, become this humble servant at home. So whatever post one takes, imaginary posts in this world, Prabhupada even points out that those are service positions as well. Someone may say, I'm the president. Why? Because I'm promising I can serve you better than this other person, and so forth. So everyone's a servant. And this is pointed out by Lord Chaitanya in his basic teachings, that we are Nitya Krishna Das. This is the Swarup, the natural position of the soul, or Prabhupada calls it in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita, the Dharma. The Dharma of sugar is? The Dharma of a chili pepper is? Hot. And ice is? Cold. So there's a way in which everything has its essence, its intrinsic quality. And the basic and intrinsic quality of the jiva, the living entity, and of which we're included in that category, is to be a servant. So it's a natural position. Now, you may serve the devil or you may serve the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And this is also our philosophy, that there are basically just a few energies. The Vishnu Purana says, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Shetra Gyatya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samgyangya Tritir Shaktir Ishite. There's three basic energies, that is. There's the energy of the Supreme Personality of God, the Lord's external energy, Maya. There's the living entity, who is energy of the Lord. And then there's the body. So Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Gyakya Tatapara Avidya Karma Samgyangya. The avidya potency means that one forgets that one is a servant of Krishna. So it's a simple philosophy. And when one forgets that one is a servant of Krishna, then all problems begin. Bhayam dvitiya abhinibesha tasyad ishat apetasya viparya yosmriti. One gets turned around in the wrong direction, away from service to Krishna, and one serves maya, or illusion, or a false conception of life, which we call the bodily conception of life. That I am an American, I am a man, I have such and such amount in my bank account, Actually, these are all dreams. The dreams that we have at night are the same dreams we have in the daytime, only our eyes are open. Because it's the same mind. It's the same mind, and it's working by concocting various ideas. And one of those ideas is that I'm a master. And therefore, in some places in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna refers to the jiva as Purusha. For instance, in the 13th chapter, 22nd verse, he says, Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jangunan. He calls the jiva, the living entity, the tiny soul, who's an eternal servant, he says, okay, Purusha, Mr. Master, because you're the master of your destiny. And you've chosen to serve the illusory conception of life, the material body. So there's a natural way that we're servants, you have to serve, but there's also a supernatural kind of service. Supernatural service means service to Krishna. Mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. As soon as one turns one's attention to service to Krishna, then one begins to rise above the three modes of material nature. This is supernatural service. It's above the natural phenomenon of this material world. Service here is very predictable. And we serve here bad masters who never give us time off, never give us mercy. And up until now, one may not have even questioned the deal that we got ourselves into. Sometimes people work for a company for a long time and they think, I don't think I like this deal anymore. So devotees are like that. I don't think I like this deal. A lot of the people, it's fine, forget about it, it's okay. It's like, well, why do we have to die? I used to ask my parents, why do we have to die? And it's like, it's just part of the life, you know, don't worry about it. You're not going to die for a long time, you don't have to think about it. It's like, I'm thinking about it. That's why I ran away from home, I was thinking about it too much. And I said, I'm going to go find somebody else to ask, and I did. So they told me, yeah, you should think about it. Shukadeva Goswami told Parikshit Maharaj, yeah, it's good, think about it. So what are you doing? Who are you serving? And what's going to happen when you leave this body and so forth? So having a clear idea of who to serve and how to serve makes one's life perfect. Your seva, seva means service, right? Your seva will save you. Take this service, it's very important. So we're looking at the mood of Hanuman in service, because when it comes to this mood of service, Dasya Ras, he is the icon, the emblem of this Dasya Ras service. So there's a couple qualities. Well, first, let's talk about Hanuman Ji, who everyone likes Hanuman everywhere you go. When you bring up Hanuman, everyone starts to smile. And practically you see him everywhere. Every rickshaw I've ever gotten in India, practically always have Hanuman somewhere. And in Vrindavan, right before you walk into Radhakund, on the Parikram around Govardhan Hill, there's Temple of Hanuman, there's a Temple of Hanuman right before you start your Parikram around Vrindavan as well, at the very outset, so forth. Hanuman Ji is popular everywhere, because he's the greatest servant of Lord Ram. And there are a couple notable things. One thing is, he's a monkey. So that's important because it means you don't have to have some special qualification to become a great servant. Prahlad Maharaj noticed this when he was about to pray to Lord Nrsingadev, because he was asked to by Brahma and all the demigods, who tried their best and failed. So Nrsingadev was still so angry that they were afraid. And they pushed Prahlad forward and said, "You try." And then he named all the qualities that these demigods had: strength, longevity, intelligence, mode of goodness, learning. And he said, "Who am I? What can I say? I don't have any of these things. I'm a child. I was born in a demoniac family." And then he remembered Gajendra, the elephant. It was an elephant. And he said, "But Gajendra, he tried to offer prayers to the Lord and he was successful. Bhaktyatu Tosha, Bhagavan, he satisfied Bhagavan with a little bhakti. Bhaktyatu Tosha Bhagavan Gajayutapaya." He was the elephant, king of the elephants, but still an elephant. And in commenting on this verse, Prabhupada says, he was an elephant, maybe a big fatty animal. But because he had bhakti, he was able to satisfy the Lord. And then Prabhupada names Jatayu. He was a bird and a vulture at that, right? And then he names Hanuman, monkey. So Hanuman's a monkey. But still he's the greatest servitor. So Hanuman is known for Dasya Ras. And one of the ways in which he's glorified is by Prahlad Maharaj himself. There's a story written by Sanatan Goswami, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. And he tells how Narada Muni wanted to know who is the best of all servitors of the Lord, who has received the most mercy out of all of the Lord's devotees. Who is it? And he searches. He's looking. Who's getting the most mercy? And he follows the path. He starts off seeing a Brahmin worshipping his Shalagram Shila. And after he worships his Shalagram Shila, he collects all the Sukriti and he offers it back to the deity. He says, "Please take all any Sukriti I got, I'm offering it back to you." And he thinks, this must be the greatest devotee. So he approaches him and says, "You are the greatest devotee." And this is the way devotees see the world. They're always seeing the good qualities in others. Especially when they see a spark of devotion, they appreciate it. It's called grinanti. Shrinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. Queen Kunti says, this is one of the ways in which devotees move in the world. They're always seeing that devotion in others and they're appreciating it like anything. And this Brahmin said, "It's not me, I'm nothing, I'm just insignificant." That's another way that the devotees think. On one side, some devotees are praising and saying, "You're the best," and the other one's saying, "I'm nothing, just look over here." And throughout the first volume of the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, you'll find one after the other. Each devotee that Narada Muni approaches says, "There's someone else that's better than me." And they continually point to the next person, and they give reasons why this person's devotion is more developed, better than mine. So when Narada Muni approaches Prahlad Maharaj, he says, "You're the best devotee in the world." And Prahlad says, "It's not me. In fact, Lord Nrisingadeva just came, he killed Hiranyakashipu, and now, you know, I don't have that much interaction with him." And actually, it's painful to hear when the devotees start talking about why they're not qualified. We really don't want to hear that part. But you have to go through it when you listen to this Brihat Bhagavatamrita. Anyway, he's explaining, and then he diverts Narada Muni's attention to Hanuman. He said, "You look at Hanuman. He's actually a devotee." And he starts telling all the things that Hanuman has done and how he's great. And, I mean, first of all, unusual qualifications just from his birth, because when he was born, how powerful was he? No ordinary monkey, of course. He saw the sunrise, and as little monkeys want to jump for everything, he thought, "That's a fruit. I want that fruit." And he started jumping, and Indra saw him jumping for the sun, and he thought, "He's going to get it." It's going to really ruin the setup of the universe. And so to stop him, the only thing he could think of was to throw his thunderbolt, which hit Hanuman right in the jaw and knocked him out. That's why he's got some little mark on his jaw. But then his father, Vayu, became angry. He said, "Why you knock my son out?" He said, "All right, no one can breathe." And he stopped up the universal breathing. So all the demigods were choking. So they went to Brahma, and all the senior demigods in the universe said, "Do something." So they came and they gave benedictions. We give him whatever he wants. They started heaping all these benedictions upon little Hanuman. He was just a baby, a little baby monkey. That's pretty cute, with all the powers and everything like that. There was some benediction also that he would not remember everything, because if he was able to access all these powers and remember them, he would become so powerful, it could really cause some havoc in the universe. And monkeys are known for that anyway, so he would remember just at the right time. And we know from the Ramayana that he does. He gets the benediction to remember all his supernatural powers just at the right time when he needs to jump across to Lanka and so forth. But obviously not an ordinary monkey. And in his service, Sanatana Goswami distinguishes between Prahlad Maharaj, who is specifically known for smaranam, for thinking of the Lord constantly, and Hanuman, who's known for dasyam, which means serving. And Sanatana Goswami says, service is especially powerful because one can use all of one's senses, working senses and knowledge gathering, acquiring senses, all at once. It's just like when you take a shower, he says, everything gets wet. So when you enter into the mood of dasyam, then all the senses become involved, and they all become purified. Sarva pati vinir muktam tat prat vena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktira uchite. This is called bhakti, devotional service, which engages all the senses and purifies them by the process of devotional service. And one becomes free from designations in the process, this dasyam. And we can see that devotional service is based on this dasyam. When you're engaged in devotional service properly, then all your senses will be engaged. So you take rest. So what good is that? Your senses are doing what when you're sleeping? Anyone? They're resting. You got to rest so you can get up and do more service. So that's okay. Because if you're doing more service, you have to take some rest. So if you lie down at night in your mood of service and you're saying, "I have to rest because tomorrow I got to get up and go on Sankirtan." And you know if you stay up all night, you may not be able to do it, right? So resting, you're engaging your senses. You wake up in the morning and what do? What's the first thing you do? Say it real loud because I can't hear you. Otherwise, use the microphone. Okay, so when you open your eyes, you say, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You engage your tongue. There are other recommended prayers you can say when you wake up. Jayati janani vaso devaki janmavaro yaruvara parishat swara daurubir asyana dharmam stirachara vijinana susmita shrimukena rajapura vanitanam varyam kamadevam. Beautiful verses recommended in our padatis, which tell us how to do the panchratrik system, means how to live the day with the deity in the center of your life. And then getting up from bed, you say an apology to Mother Bhumi for stepping on her surface. You offer your obeisances on the ground to your spiritual master. You get up and cleanse yourself with water, and then you can sit down and do what? What do you chant? And what else? Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. And then there's Mangal Artik. A lot of stuff going on there. First time anyone sees an Artik who's, especially not from India, hasn't seen it before. There are things being waved at different personalities and all kinds of objects and ones never seen before. There's cooking going on at the same time. And cooking is perhaps one of the most engaging of all activities. This is done in the spirit of dasyam also, because one is offering whatever one cooks to the Lord. And then throughout the day, there's services to do. And Prabhupada points out in his books that if you're doing some administrative work, for instance, say if you were the accountant for this temple, and you had to keep track of all the money that's coming in and all the money that's going out, all the expenses and so forth, like our Damodar Vamsidhari. He's always thinking how to make more money and how to spend less. And that's a 24-hour engagement, but because it's in the spirit of dasyam, of service to Krishna, it's purifying. It's not mundane. Other paths of spiritual realization, which don't include this mood of dasyam, in which one restrains the senses, prohibit one from engaging in thinking about commerce and paying the bills and so forth. How one does that, I have no idea. But in the mood of dasyam, there's all kinds of services. Hanuman was engaged in many, many services. One thing is he carried Lord Ram on his very soft back. He had a very soft and comfortable back to carry Lord Ram. And especially when they fought with Ravana, Ram was on his back. Hanuman used his tail as an umbrella and a sunscreen for Lord Ram. He also used it as a chamara. Very useful. You have a tail. It's big enough. You can use it for all these purposes. And he uses superhuman strength for fighting in battles for Ram. There's long lists of all the battles that Hanuman won and all of his heroic activities and so forth. And all these were engaged in the service of Ram. There's three particular qualities that I want to bring up about Ram that are lessons that we can also imbibe and we can take on in our mood of service, which are subtleties that I saw when looking at Lord Ramachandra and Hanuman and their relationship. So, first is, when Indrajit fought on the battlefield against the monkey army, he fought at night and he invoked his magic powers, developed some magic. And he was able to make all of the monkey armies faint. And there's a way in which that Lakshmana also fainted at the same time, because there was a prediction by Lord Brahma that he would do so at a certain time in the battle. So out of feeling of obligation to Brahma, Lakshman also fainted. But this was a great disaster. The army of the monkeys was now down on the battlefield at a very important time. And Lakshman also, the great hero, had succumbed to the powers of Indrajit. And then there was a doctor, Susena, who told Hanuman that there's a specific kind of herb that you need to get from the Gandamandana mountain. And you have to bring that and you can revive Lakshman and all the monkey armies with this one herb. So there's a story with many details of how Hanuman went to get that herb. And on his way there, he had to fight against the Gandharva armies. He met many, many obstacles, not the least of which is when he got to the mountain, Gandamandana, he couldn't tell which was the right herb. And this is a dire situation. Lakshman was at death's door. So were the whole monkey armies. The whole battle, the whole war was dependent on him. So I really liked how he picked up the whole mountain and brought it back, because he couldn't tell which one it was. He, out of a sense of service, said, this has to be done. So I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to bring it back. And what comes to my mind in the mode of service, what was the mood of service of Hanuman? whatever it takes, three words, whatever it takes to get it done. It reminded me of a story I read recently in the Prabhupada Lilamrita. Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita tells how Prabhupada in 1971 was crisscrossing India with a group of devotees, and on one long train ride on the way back to Bombay, he was relaxing in his train car, and two of his devotees, Jamuna and Kaushalya, the two women devotees, came to stop by to pay their obeisances to Prabhupada. And Jamuna describes how Prabhupada was leaning back with his one knee propped up in the air, and that he looked like a great emperor, spiritual emperor. Prabhupada was very happy to see both of them. They paid their respects and they said, anything that we can do to serve you, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I would like some hot rice, please. Please bring me some hot rice. He actually said, bring me some prasadam. And Jamuna said, you mean the prasadam we brought with us? Said, no. Prabhupada said, no, hot rice. And Jamuna said, yes, Prabhupada, I will get it right away. And then she closed the door, turned around and thought, how am I going to get hot rice on this train? And when she went to the kitchen, she found two cooks, two male cooks, wearing grubby shorts, who were wholly uninterested in the service that she had to perform. And she expressed, in whatever way she could, because she didn't speak Hindi, but she communicated to them she needed to use the kitchen in order to cook some rice for a spiritual master. And they said, no way. They thought it was funny at first, and then they became a little stern that you're not coming in here. Jamuna didn't stop there, and Kaushalya didn't stop there. They went next to the next higher up, and they finally ended up going to the conductor of the train. And they said, my spiritual master has asked me to cook rice. He's very hungry. He's in the cabin up near the front. I have to cook the rice right away. I have to use the kitchen. They won't let use me. I need your permission. He said, this is not possible. She said, I'm either going to cook the rice or I'm going to jump off this train. I will kill myself. I will jump off the train. And the man thought, she might do it. This is called whatever it takes. I'm not advocating. But that mood is there in Dasyam and in Hanuman, that whatever it takes to serve Lord Ram, that's what comes first. And that's the pinnacle of the service mood, that my master needs something, I'm going to get it. I'm going to find it. I'm going to bring it back whatever way I can. And she did it. She and Kaushalya got permission, whatever it took, went from one to the next. They could have gone back. In fact, they couldn't have, because they didn't have it in their heart to go back and tell Prabhupada, we couldn't get it done. So they escalated until there was something in her voice when she said, I will jump off the train, that changed the man's heart. It is that determination to do service to one's spiritual master that drives everything. In fact, Prabhupada tells how earlier in the Krishna consciousness movement, when the Gaudiya Math had developed throughout India, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then wanted to expand into England, London to be specific, he sent several of his top preachers to go there. Each one of them had a very specific qualification. They went there for several years. There was large expenditure. Hope that's not me. Hare Krishna. And they were not let me say that their spiritual master called them back. It looked like they had not done what he wanted them to do. I won't give too much more detail about that, except to say that it's all in the histories. And Prabhupada says something very useful and specific about why they were not successful to the degree that their spiritual master had wanted them to be when they went to England. And that is that he said, within their heart, they did not actually desire to fulfill the mission. They had another idea. On the other side, Prabhupada writes that his mission was successful not because of his own particular qualification. In fact, he says that his only qualification was that he had decided that he would do whatever it takes to fulfill the desire of his spiritual master to spread Krishna consciousness to the Western-speaking people and to print books and distribute them all over the world, whatever it takes. And he pointed to a verse that inspired him in that way in the Bhagavad Gita, in which Krishna says, Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushaka hyanantashta buddhayo vyavasayinam. That those who are resolute in purpose, they have one pointed attention on their service. In Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, commenting on that verse, Prabhupada says that this means that one takes the order of one's spiritual master as one's life and soul. One pointed attention. I will do whatever it takes. As the train went further and it stopped in New Delhi on its way to Bombay, a man got on the train who was no big shot, but he was sincere and he wanted Prabhupada to come to New Delhi and do some programs. Prabhupada couldn't. He was on his way to Bombay. He was already obligated in Bombay, but he had about 10 of his disciples with him. One of them was Gurudas, who was sitting in the same cabin with Prabhupada. According to the author Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj, who wrote the Prabhupada Lilamrita, Gurudas Prabhu was very happily riding with Prabhupada in his cabin, talking at certain intervals, being there to serve his spiritual master personally in the same cabin, mile after mile down the track. When they arrived in Delhi, the man got on the train, said, I want something here. Prabhupada looked at Gurudas, said, you get down here. He said, get down here. There was 3 minutes before the train would leave. He said, Prabhupada, but I need somebody to come with me. Prabhupada, take whoever you like. He gathered up a group of the devotees. They got off the train immediately. Because Prabhupada said it, they got off. Whatever it takes. Not, Prabhupada can't do it right now. But whatever it takes. This is the mood of Dasyam. It says, I'm ready at any time. Whether I'm sleeping, whether I'm awake, when the order comes, I'm going to jump. That's how Hanuman was. That's his mood. Whatever Ram says, I jump. I do it right now. Another example. Prabhupada was once challenged in an open assembly. He said, you're preaching to all these people. Why don't you preach? Let's see you convert some Muslims. Why don't you preach to the Muslims? Prabhupada said, yes, we will do it. Prabhupada, the great warrior. So right after that, he telegrammed to Brahmananda. He said, Brahmananda, you go to Pakistan. Preach Krishna consciousness. Brahmananda got the telegram, grabbed his bag, and bought a ticket and headed out the door before Prabhupada could stop him, which he tried to do, because Prabhupada, just a few hours later, got the information that there was a kind of very tense situation at that time going on in Pakistan. And it was very dangerous. So he sent another telegram as quickly as he could, said, don't go. Brahmananda had jumped so fast, like Hanuman, because he was in Dasyam. He was ready to serve his spiritual master, whatever it takes. And he went out the door, and he got on the plane, and he went, or the train, and he went right to Pakistan. Very dangerous situation in Pakistan at the time. In fact, people came up, they spit on him. Who is he with? Gargamuni? He spit on the two of them. They rubbed off their tilak as they were standing there. They were harassed. They were told to go home or they would be killed and so forth. And Prabhupada received news that two Hare Krishna devotees had been killed in Pakistan. And he was disconsolate, thinking that this had been his two disciples. How could it not have been? How could that news have come out? And he was in such anxiety that he could hardly sleep. And finally, Brahmananda came back, because it wasn't possible to stay there, and came to Bombay to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada embraced Brahmananda like he was a little baby, and just held his head and rubbed his head that he was back. But I was always impressed of this mood of the disciple who will do whatever it takes. The order comes, now I'll execute. That's what I'll do next. This is the mood of Hanuman in serving Lord Ram. Another mood of Hanuman and all those in the mode of Dasyam is service for service. What was the first mood? What is it? And if someone passes you the order, you'll say? But you will say it like, you'll say with a little more gusto than that, right? That's what gets it done. That's Dasyam. Another mood is service for service. I'm not doing service as a merchant. And these are the immortal words of Prahlad Maharaj. I'm going to read to you a little bit from the Bhagavatam, since we have all night. This comes after Prahlad offered his famous prayers to Lord Nrsingadev. Lord Nrsingadev was satisfied. And after the Lord is satisfied, he offers benedictions to his devotees. The great Saint Narada said, thus Lord Nrsingadev was pacified, this is 7951, by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me. But one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. Just to make a side point, earlier in his prayers, Prahlad Maharaj had said that the devotee offers service to Krishna, not for Krishna's benefit. He's Purnam, complete. But because when the devotee offers service to the Lord, the devotee then becomes complete. Just as when the fingers cooperate with the stomach and they pick up food and they put it in the mouth, it goes to the stomach, the fingers prosper. And they're happy when they're doing that. And Prabhupada tells about how once the senses went on strike. They said, why is the stomach only sit there and gets to enjoy all the food? We do all the work, we quit. And after a few days, the whole body became weak. So they reconvened and said, better go back to work. Sometimes when I see people working, I think, everyone likes to be engaged. They want to be engaged in something, be happy. I see people, they're mowing a lawn. They have some job to do. When people stop doing their job, they become morose, actually. That's natural. But what's supernatural is to realize that if I direct that same energy of service, that same energy to do something for someone, instead of doing it for pay, do service for service with no motivation behind it. This was Hanuman. He didn't take any remuneration from the Lord. In fact, the Lord offered him the benediction, you be liberated. And he said, I don't even know what liberation is. I didn't even care. I just want to serve you. Service for service. That's all I care about. And we'll find this characteristic if you look into the mood of service of any of the pure devotees, and we're now looking at Prahlad Maharaj, they'll say the same thing. I don't want anything in return. I'm completely satisfied because serving without any motivation is the only satisfaction of the soul. Savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhaktirat hoksaje. Ahaituki apratiyata yatma supersediti. The Bhagavatam at the outset says, this is the only thing that can satisfy the self, is this mood of Hanuman, dasyam, service for service. I don't want anything from this. I'm serving because I am your eternal servant. And that's it. Final. Nothing else. Just let me serve. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know for me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows. For I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Who's the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone? Obama? Who?
Krishna.
What can he do? Yeah, so why would anybody serve anyone else? This was a question that Uddhava asked. You'll see earlier in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Uddhava said, who would serve anybody else? He said, Putana came to kill Krishna. She smeared poison on her breast. She said, I'm going to kill him. She pretended to be his mother. Krishna was so kind. He sucked out the poison, sucked out her life, and he accepted the service part. At least she tried to be my mother. And liberated her in the most extraordinary way. Vimukti. She got a place in the spiritual world as one of Krishna's eternal servants and associates. Because Krishna looked and he said, there's something in there. It's like a mother. She was trying to kill him. But he said, I'll take the service part. Uddhava said, seeing this, who would serve anybody else? Prabhupada gives the examples. He said, there was this one woman. This is back in 1970. She had served her family her whole life. And now she wanted to join the Krishna consciousness movement. Mrs. Sharma said, I want to join. I just want to do full-time service. They said, no, you have to serve us. You can't go away and do service for Krishna. You have to serve us. And Prabhupada said, just see, this is the material world. You can serve your whole life and no one will be satisfied. But if you serve Krishna a little bit, one tiny little indication that you even want to serve, and Krishna will accept it. He'll take it as your greatest qualification. Which one would you rather serve? Yes. Narada Muni said Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification because he only wanted... Work with me now. He only wanted... The saint Narada Muni continued, although Prahlad Maharaj was only a boy, when he heard the benedictions offered by the Lord Nrisingadev, he considered them impediments on the path of devotional service. Thus he smiled very mildly and spoke as follows, my dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because I was born in an atheistic family, I am naturally attached to material enjoyment. Therefore, kindly do not tempt me with these illusions. I am very much afraid of material conditions, and I desire to be liberated from materialistic life. It is for this reason that I have taken shelter of your lotus feet. O my worshipable Lord, because the seed of lusty desires, which is the root cause of material existence, is within the core of everyone's heart, you have sent me to this material world to exhibit the symptoms of a pure devotee. Otherwise, O my Lord, O Supreme Instructor of the entire world, you are so kind to your devotee that you could not induce him to do something unbeneficial for him. On the other hand, one who desires some material benefit in exchange for devotional service cannot be your pure devotee. Indeed, he is no better than a merchant who wants profit in exchange for service. A servant who desires material profits from his master is certainly not a qualified servant or pure devotee. Similarly, a master who bestows benedictions upon his servant because of a desire to maintain a prestigious position as master is also not a pure devotee. O my Lord, I am your unmotivated servant, and you are my eternal master. There is no need of our being anything other than master and servant. You are naturally my master, and I am naturally your servant. We have no other relationship. O my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, if you would all want to bestow a desirable benediction upon me, then I pray from your lordship that within the core of my heart there be no material desires. Service for service. One who even begins to think about doing service for service with no egoistic remuneration begins to feel satisfied. One may not be able to do it yet, but if you start thinking, what if I could just serve without wanting anything in return? Even the aggrandizement that comes with becoming a great servant. The ego is sitting there waiting to appropriate everything I do. Madhavananda recently said, like shellac, it sticks to us here, there, and everywhere. But this mood of service for service, contemplating it, worshiping the devotees who are in that mood of dasyam, that I only serve because that's my eternal nature, to serve the Lord. This begins to satisfy the mind and heart. Because, savai pum samparo dharmo yato bhaktir hoksaje ahaituki apratiyata yayatma superseded. This is the only thing that can satisfy the heart. And that is this mood of service for service. I don't want anything in return. I don't even care if anybody sees what I do. I know that I'm serving my Lord, and that's good enough for me. That's service for service. And this was the mood of Hanuman. He didn't care for any remuneration from the Lord. Didn't ask for anything. Same mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that I simply serve the Lord because that is my eternal position. And finally, the third quality is that those who are in this mood of dasyam to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are also consider themselves servants of the servant. What is number one? What is number two? And number three? What is number three? What is number one? What is number three? What is number two? And if you walk out the door today and somebody grabs you by the arm and says, what's that guy talking about in there? You'll say, whatever it takes. Service for service and servant of the servant. That's what he was talking about. So the third point we'll find in those who are great servitors of the Lord. They don't just serve the Lord and neglect everyone else, but they consider themselves the servants of the Lord's servants. And they don't see the Lord in isolation. In fact, this is the definition of an advanced devotee given in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Prakrita Bhakta means the devotee in the beginning position. He's called Prakrita because his devotional service is still mixed with the modes of material nature. He's called Achayam Eva Hariye Pujam Ya Shareye Hate. Natad bhakteshu cha anyeshu sabhakta prakrita smitaha. This prakrita bhakta has this qualification. He only sees the Lord and he offers his service there, but he doesn't see anybody else. Cha anyeshu. He doesn't see the bhakta and he doesn't see cha anyeshu, anyone else. Means he doesn't know how to recognize the devotees of the Lord. He just says, here is Krishna, I'm going to serve him. Everyone else, get out of my way. No consideration. And he also doesn't see that all living entities, in whatever bodies they're in, are also dear to the Lord. Most dear. They have an eternal, intimate relationship. So nitya nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa. An eternal kinship with the Lord, in a very intimate relationship. Therefore, he doesn't show compassion to them. But those devotees who are advanced, the Madhyama Adhikari devotees, who are the ones who then see that the Lord is present, the devotees are present, the souls who are innocent are present, and the souls who are envious are present. And he acts towards each one of them in appropriate ways, especially going out of his way to give mercy to those who are innocent, but who are disconnected from the Lord. And I have a favorite story, first of all, mentioning Hanuman and how this was his quality. That Hanuman was so compassionate, and he was looking how to fan the spark of devotional service in the hearts of all other devotees. He rallied all the troops. He was the commander in the armies that pushed everyone forward. He took charge of the project to put all the rocks across the ocean. That was his project, to put them all the way across to Lanka. And when Bibhishan, who was the brother of Ravana, came forward to surrender after he had had enough of Ravana, and Ravana had told him, you flee or you die, because you're a traitor, because you're giving me advice to give back Sita. Therefore, you're a traitor, you're not my brother, I'll kill you if you don't leave. So Bibhishan, who had fought on the side of Ravana, who had at least been on his side, then came to the armies of Ramachandra, and he wanted to surrender to Ram. And there's quite a bit written about this in the Ramayana, and there's commentaries by the Acharyas describing all the conversations that took place. There were various devotees who came forward to tell Ram about the appearance of Bibhishan. He was one of the top people in the government of Ravana. And some of them said, don't trust him. Some of them said, he has to be tested. Many of them had various ideas about how to treat Bibhishan. But finally, Ramachandra asked Hanuman, and Hanuman said, you should give him shelter. First of all, he has asked you for shelter, and it's your promise for eternity that anybody who asks you for shelter, doesn't matter who it is, you'll give him shelter. And Ramachandra said, that's correct. Even if Ravana comes and says, I take shelter, I'll give him shelter. That's how merciful Krishna is. And Hanuman saw something that all the other monkeys, all the other warriors could not see in Bibhishan. He saw this sincerity of purpose, and he recommended him to the service of Lord Ram, and Ram accepted him. Bibhishan turned out to be a great devotee, to whom Ramachandra turned over the entire empire of Lanka after he won the war. So the devotees are always eager to see how other devotees can be engaged in the Lord's service. And if you'd like to move up by 7.2 inches, I'll tell you my favorite story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita in this regard. Everyone okay? Yes. Hey, Vrindavan. Did you say yes? Okay, good. There's a rather astounding story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita because it's so relatable to what happens in our lives. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes were going on as he was a teacher. He was giving the Acharya Lila, as he was showing how to live as a devotee. So one of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu includes him traveling and taking with him a servant named Kala Krishnadas. Kala Krishnadas served the Lord, but near the end of his tour of duty, serving the Lord, and it's not easy, actually. Some people think Dasya is an easy life and I want to get closer, I want to serve the spiritual master closely, or I want to serve Krishna very closely. But actually, it's actually pretty tough. And some of the servants of Srila Prabhupada will tell how, especially as they were young, they had desires, so many things. They you know, they'd serve for a couple of years and they'd say, Prabhupada, I can't do this anymore. And it was the most difficult thing to say, because of course they wanted to do it. But they couldn't. They couldn't keep up with the pace that Prabhupada was on, and not just the physical pace, but the mental pace of always being in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. That's sometimes hard for somebody to take. It's like, can I have a break? I need to do something else. In fact, one of the devotees that left Prabhupada's service came to Prabhupada and said, I have other things to do. That's the problem. When those other things are there within the heart, it's hard to do this dasyam, to do what somebody else wants to do. It's like, I'm going to do what you want to do. I don't care what I want to do. That's dasyam. And to do that year after year becomes very trying for some. And Kaladri Krishnadas was traveling with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and somehow or other he got bewildered. And Prabhupada wrote a purport. It's a short purport, but it has a lot of meaning to it. He says that even if one's a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if one isn't careful, one can fall down. And Prabhupada, as he does throughout his books and writings, attributes this to the free will of the living entity. We have free will. And therefore, we can become captured by Maya. Kala Krishnadas was definitely captured by Maya. No question about it. There was a group of Bhattaharis. And they had this, they were nomadic. They would travel from one place to another, and they would collect up more members by sending out these women who were attract people. I was like, hey, why don't you come with me? I was like, okay. And then they lure them into the camp, and somehow or other they would, you know, get them enlisted, and off they would go. And this Kala Krishnadas, who was personally serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, got captured by one of these Bhattahari women who got him to come to the camp, and then he got trapped in there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came and got him back. Where's my servant? He's gone with the Bhattahari. He went in and said, what have you done with my servant? Give my servant back. There was a fight. All the Bhattaharis lost. And he dragged Kala Krishnadas out by his hair and brought him back. But when Mahaprabhu got back to Jagannath Puri, he called a meeting and included Kala Krishnadas, who was sitting there. And he told his senior devotees, what is the character of this person? He came with me. He left his service in such a ignoble way. I have no more use for him. Kaladri Krishnadas began weeping. And Mahaprabhu just got up and walked out. And that was it. But that wasn't it. Because the devotees who are in the mood of service, they have this compassion for the other servants of the Lord, and they want to see that they're engaged in service. Just like Hanuman had for Vibhishan. Although he was on the opposite side, although it seemed very unlikely that he would come over to the other side and so forth, he felt that compassion so much, so deeply, that he was able to sense his sincerity, and he brought him closer to Ram. So, Nityananda, Jagannanda, Mukunda, and Damodar came together, these four, and they said, we have to do something for this Kala Krishnadas. This is how devotees in the Dasya Ras think. They're thinking that there's service to be done. What else is the person going to do? They can't just go back into Maya. This is how the devotees are compassionate. When they see somebody go down in Krishna consciousness, one of the warriors goes down on the battlefield, they reach out. They come, they say, please come back. They devise a way to bring them back. This is part of Dasya Ras. They see everyone must be engaged in Krishna's service. And this is the impetus of the Krishna consciousness movement, that people are languishing in the material world, doing crazy things, wasting their time. And let me bring them back to the service. So Nityananda Prabhu spoke with Jagannanda, Mukunda, and Damodar, and they came up with a plan. So they went back to Mahaprabhu in his room the next day. They said, we have a plan. You just got back from South India, And Mother Sachi doesn't know about it. Nor does Advaita Acharya or any of the other devotees, and they're dying in separation in Navadvip. We have a plan. We're going to send somebody. One man, they said, Ekjana. They didn't say who it was, but Mahaprabhu knew what they were doing. We have one man we want to send. Okay? And Prabhupada said, you do whatever you like. And Prabhupada also points out here, the devotees of the Lord are more merciful than the Lord himself. These are the servants. This is Dasya Rasa. This is the mood of the servant of the servant. How to keep everyone engaged. We see how Prabhupada, he was so compassionate that he would always look to see how the devotees were enlivened. Why was he traveling back and forth across the world? To enliven and encourage the devotees. Stay engaged in Krishna's service. What did he tell them to do when they said, what's the best thing we can do? He would say, keep chanting Hare Krishna. It will solve all your problems. Be a servant of Krishna. Krishna is your life and soul. This is all you have to do. So they sent Kala Krishna Das to Navadvip with a lot of Jagannath Mahaprasadam. He went to Mother Sachi's house. He said, here's Mahaprasadam from Lord Jagannath. They didn't know what had happened to him. They just know, here's the messenger coming from Mahaprabhu. He was a hero now. Then he told, Mahaprabhu's back. Then he went to Advaita Acharya's house. Mahaprasadam from Lord Jagannath. By the way, Mahaprabhu just got back. Everyone, the author cannot name them all, who came to see this Kala Krishna Das. He became the great messenger to bring this news that brought life back to the devotees who were dying in separation of Mahaprabhu. So this mood that one is the servant of the servant, and the best service that the devotees can do is to encourage the other devotees how to stay engaged in service. We have a volunteer army, just like the monkey army. It's all volunteers. It was all out of this spirit of let's serve Ram. Let's do something for Ram. And that's what we're trying to do too. And along the way, there are a lot of problems because we're mixed up. It's complex. The material world is complex, isn't it? Or is it just me? It seems very complex. There's complexities socially. There's complexities in our families. There's complexities because the mind can't comprehend why everyone keeps dropping dead and we have to suffer so much because losing loved ones. We worry about our economic future. We worry about, will a meteor hit the earth? I mean, you can worry about so many different things. Living in this material world is a complex situation. And we need encouragement from the devotees. And the devotees who are engaged in this Dasya Ras, one of their great services is to encourage the devotees. Just like Hanuman, he would encourage everyone. He encouraged Bibhishan. And Lord Yananda, he thought, how to bring Kala Krishna Das? They could have kicked him away. They could say, you're such a loser. How could you have done that? In the presence of Mahaprabhu. But the opposite. They thought, how to engage them, how to bring them closer. And when I see this quality in other devotees, that they have this kind of compassion for other servants of Lord Chaitanya, other servants of Srila Prabhupada, other servants of Srila Prabhupada's servants, and they go out of their way to help them, to bring them back when they stray, or to bring them closer when there's more service to be done. This is the most pleasing service. And Srila Prabhupada mentions this in a purport in the Adi Lila, the Antya Lila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita when he talks about Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur's mood was, all these other servants of yours, he was seeing all other living entities as servants, they've strayed, how to bring them back closer. This is what Prabhupada said, this is the real service. This is real service. So this is what it means to be servant of the servant. And we can take great encouragement from our reading of Ramayana to see these qualities in Hanuman. How he was the servant of the servant. What are the other two? Service for service and whatever it takes. What's number one?
Whatever it takes.
Yeah, what if I can think like that? Whatever it takes to get my service done, I'll do. Number two? Service for service. I don't want anything in return. If you don't want anything in return for your service, you cannot be stopped. Because the only thing that holds me up from actually expanding my service is thinking, I have to get credit for this. If I don't get credit for this, I'm not doing it. And that's the false ego comes in and holds up everything. But if you just say, I'm doing this service for the pleasure of the Lord. And number three, be the servant of the servant. This is the most pleasing to the Lord because the devotees are the most dear to Him. And when we extend ourselves to them and help them to come closer, then Krishna becomes especially satisfied. And now we have a few minutes for some reflections. Means one thing that you heard that's stuck in your mind, that you're taking out of here in your pocket. The microphones are ready to go.
Thank you, Prabhu. In the beginning you said your seva will save you. That was very, very a short sentence, but actually packed with a lot of meaning.
You like the mantra?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of various periods we'll go through in our lives, demarcated by decades. We change throughout those our external circumstances, the state of our body may change. But one thing should remain constant. We should have some service. And if you hold on to your service and you continue to nurture that service over a lifetime, that will give everything. And it will give a lifeline to Krishna. No matter what happens, hold on to your service. Never let it go. And never take it for granted that I can just get more somewhere else. Maybe not. Maybe it'll take a long time. I know one devotee I talked to recently, a couple of years ago actually, just who was doing huge service. And somehow he had fallen away. And I was talking to him and he said that, you know, it took so long to develop my service, what I was doing. And he said, I lost it in such a short amount of time. And now I'm having to climb back up one step at a time, one step at a time. It's a better plan in life to hold on to your service no matter what else happens and keep that as your lifeline. Thank you.
One question?
Yeah.
One question?
No questions, only reflections.
Thank you for sharing Mother Yamuna's story about cooking a hot rice. She just focused on how to provide the rice to Srila Prabhupada, even offering her life. So I just thought that it's very clear example that take a leap and net will appear.
Nice. I'm jumping off the train if you don't give me the kitchen. And he said, okay, go in the kitchen.
You're going to have to serve somebody.
Very good. So many talents come out of Mukhar Vin. Who knew he could do a Bob Dylan imitation? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, reconnecting with that story in Srila Prabhupada's Lilamrita, that desire, that determination, that zeal to fulfill the mission is everything.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the brothers, there's Brahmananda and there's Gargamuni. I was talking to Gargamuni the other day. And, oh darn, I lost my train of thought. You said, yeah, I don't know, what was your point?
I mentioned that desire, that determination, the zeal to serve and fulfill the mission is everything.
It'll come back to me. Thank you. Yeah, good points. Yes, Malini. We welcome everyone who's joined us on the internet. Thank you very much. Everyone please say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol!
We're all one big group. We're glad you're with us. Thank you.
Prabhuji, in the class you mentioned that serve means actually first to hear, understand and then serve. Because many times when somebody is asking you to do something, you don't pay attention to actually what they want, but you just want to do what you want to do. But this point about you first hear, understand and then serve, that was
very Think nice. About every relationship. Without service, what is it? It is a parent with children. If the parent's not rendering service to the children, where's the relationship? What is that relationship? Friend to friend, if there's no service, what is the relationship? Lover to lover, no service? There's no relationship. It's all based on service. So we have to look for that. That's the core of everything. And the purity of the service determines our stature in life. And pure service means understanding correctly that it's being directed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Yes.
Maharaj, I was seeing that how in the case of Kala Krishna story, service for service's sake and servant to servant both were tied together, because usually we are, or at least I am, like para dukhi sukhi. So this was such a good opportunity for others to pull him down. But then since they were doing service for service and they were not thinking of any accolades for themselves, they were really, their hearts went out for Kala Krishna and they really revived him. Like
that. Yeah. Thank you very much. Nice point.
Thank you.
Hi, Krishna.
I just want to say that the similarity between service for service and art for art's sake, okay, so that art is at its best only when it's spontaneous and you don't have to sell your work of art. So that's the similarity. When you make something with no desire for something to
right.
give back to you, that's the best thing. Actually.
Yeah, that's a nice point. And we noticed this also, we've talked about this, in our, for instance, just a specific example about distributing books. There's a way in which when we go out with the feeling that we want to give, and it's a loving exchange, whatever people give in return, and we're not dependent on it, we don't want anything in return, except that we see that when people reciprocate, that there's this increase in the bond that they have to Krishna. So I've noticed, I heard many years ago about a devotee in Russia who is a prolific book distributor, but after many, many years he decided, from now on I'm going to ask people for donation for the book, but I'll tell them that it's not required at all, and I'll really mean it. And I'll say, you give whatever you want, and it's completely up to you, and if you don't give, it's also okay too. And he said, I wasn't doing it as a technique, it wasn't a psychological trick, I meant it. He said when he started doing that, he doubled what he was doing before. And I've noticed myself when we meet people oftentimes, and I have that mood in my heart, and I'm just saying, no, please, we're not here for anything. It becomes an overwhelming force. When you're not expecting anything in return, and you're only saying, I'm extending out of love, out of appreciation. I've had people, I remember particularly, we were in Montreal, we were going door to door in a large building. And this one man, he was a little bit disturbed when we first came to the door. And I said, no, that's okay. And he said, all right, what do you have? I said, this book. And he said, it's a donation, you know, for a donation. And he goes, oh, okay, here, just take this and keep the book. And I said, no, you keep whatever you give, it's fine. We're not here to disturb you or to take your money, anything like that. And he said, okay, and he closed the door. And about 5 minutes later, he came running down the hall. He said, I want to give more. I said, why? And he goes, because you didn't want anything. And there's this sensitivity that all living entities have, that whether you want something or you don't have it, how much sensitive Krishna is. When we don't want anything, we only want to serve, service for service. That's what actually runs the whole spiritual world. That's what makes it move. And in the material world, when the motive comes in, that's what drags everything down and makes it the same activity, but now it's contaminated by this lower consciousness. Yes, a text came in. And you had a point, Shalabahu?
I just wanted to make one point.
Okay, make a point, and then we'll take the
I just
text.
Want to say that the servant of the servant and service for the service, I heard this before. But whatever is take, that is pretty, pretty powerful. I think that is the slogan of the day.
Yeah, and look at the Prabhupada's life also, whatever it takes. He had to wait a lifetime. Some of our God brothers, God sisters are turning 70 now. And one of them the other day called and said, you know, I'm 70, I'm sick, I'm tired, and I just realized that Prabhupada just got on the Jala Dutta at this age and came and did what he did. And he, in, you know, lifetime in preparation, his I'll do whatever it takes took a lot of time, and it took a lot of different approaches in order to come to that point. But we have to, and I've said this before, Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he said, if you have this desire, I'll do whatever it takes, but you can't do it right now. He said, you keep saying, how can I do? How can I do? How can I do? Keep asking this question over and over again and praying to Krishna. And he said, then Krishna will make everything possible. Yes. Thank you, Shalabahu. From the internet.
Yes, this is Bhakta Raphael.
Bhakta Raphael. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, he says, Hare Krishna, I want to mention to all the devotees in there that they are very blessed to have the temple so close to them. It is a blessing because all kind of service to Guru Maharaj can be rendered in order to be engaged and to please him with the mood of passion for service and humility. Doing that, you please the Lord at the same time. Hare Hare. Now, I would beg to differ on this one because Raphael, from wherever he is, he's actually serving Malini Mataji. He did the translations for the text for Spanish for us. Yeah.
And it, you know, it, yeah, Raphael. And Hanuman also served in separation. A couple of interesting points. One is that after Lord Ramachandra left the worldly Ayodhya and went back to Ayodhya and Vaikuntha, he left Hanuman behind. He said, you stay here and you help the devotees. You help keep encouraging everyone. For Hanuman, this is the greatest pain. He's in the Kimpurusha Loka. There you can see in the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he's still there offering prayers. Still in this Bhuloka. Offering service, encouraging the devotees and so forth in separation. He was with Lord Ramachandra on this planet, according to Bhagavatam, for 13,000 years. And the Ramachandra left. And now it's been tens of thousands of years that he's serving in separation here. Of course, one side point that Sanatana Goswami makes in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita. But it's kind of heavy, so maybe I shouldn't say it. Besides, we're running out of time. Oh, all right. Sanatana Goswami says, just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands himself, Ramadi Muti Shukalani Anamini Tishtan, into many different forms. So similarly, his personal associates can also expand themselves into various forms and serve the Lord in different places. So he gives this inside information that Hanuman is actually serving in the Vaikuntha of Ayodhya and in this Kimpurusha area where he's doing service as well. These things are inconceivable, but they're rather interesting and inspiring nonetheless. So we've talked about the mode of service of Hanuman as we're counting the moments until the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, which is this next Saturday at noon. We'll continue the vibration, hearing about Lord Ram all the way up to that point, and Hanuman, we're reading the whole Ramayana as one of our yajnas. Gandharvika is keeping the schedule going, reading every night, and the devotees are reading in the temple, keeping it going. This vibration of the Ramayana is so powerful that it's purifying the whole world, and those who listen in also get great inspiration and purification. And we also recommend that you start a very regular home practice wherever you are. And if you're already doing a home practice, then think of ways that you can improve. Improve everything by 20 seconds. Improve everything by a little increment every time. And one of the best parts of your home practice is take time every day to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with full attention. With what? So you can count on your hands. There are 10 little spaces on your hands, and I'll show them to you really quick. Take your thumb, hold up your hand. Come on. Thank you. One is here. That's the middle point between your ring finger. Then the bottom of your ring finger is 2. Bottom of your little finger is 3. Middle of your little finger is 4. Top of your little finger is 5. Top of your ring finger is 6. Top of your middle finger is 7. Top of your index finger is 8. Middle of your index finger is 9. And bottom of your index finger is?
10.
And how many hands do you have?
2.
So you can count on both sides. You can count in multiples of 10 on this side, and you can count each round that you chant on this side individually. So let's chant 10 Maha Mantras of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That didn't sound right. Let's chant 10 Hare Krishna Maha Mantras together. And let's try an experiment. sit up straighter than you have today. Take a couple of really deep breaths. Shut out all the other energy, any other sounds, and bring all your thoughts and energy within your own heart region. And close your eyes. Start with your thumb on position number one, and together we're going to chant 10 Maha Mantras. And as you chant, remember to listen for your own sincerity in your voice, that you're calling out to Krishna, please engage me in your service, in the mood of Hanuman, service for service, whatever it takes, and servant of the servant. First we'll say, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So take this practice home. It is the prime benediction for this age, that just by chanting the Hare Krishna Ma mantra, one can attain the results of all other kinds of sacrifices in other ages. And if one chants Hare Krishna under the direction of pure Vaishnavas with sincere feeling, one will develop pure love for God within one's heart. And that pure service will awaken within one's heart, and then one's life becomes perfect. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Hanuman ji ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premanande Haribo. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.